The scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36 to 50. Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's home and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. This morning, for those that were here over our Easter, geez, we're not even there yet, over our Christmas services. We looked, I suggested last Sunday that, well, and I shared last Sunday that this Sunday is referred to as Epiphany Sunday in the Christian calendar. Epiphany Sunday is a normal Sunday that where we would seek out, where we would celebrate the wise men and the story of the Magi who came to seek out Jesus. And so this morning, we are doing that, and we will do that as part of our response time, because I think in 21st century Australia, wise men still seek Jesus. Wise women do too. And this morning I think we've sought God, haven't we? In a number of ways, and there'll be more opportunities throughout the rest of the service this morning. But we're starting a series at the moment, for the next 4 weeks, called I'm in. I'm invited, I'm invaluable, I'm influential, and I'm invested for the next 4 weeks. But I wonder this morning if we want to spend this entire year being intentional. See what I did there? And we're going to look at a video just now about what it means to be intentional for a whole year through.
We stand at the edge of this new year.
These 365 days in front of us.
And instead of letting them blow by us, we look each of them in the eye.
And one by one,
we live them with intention.
365 days of sheer purpose.
Each lived like it's the only day we've got.
What if I live every day like no other day is owed to me?
I'd reach out to my dad. Make things right before it's too late.
On my sister's birthday this year, I'd call instead of text.
I would wake up in the morning and I would ask God what He wants me to do.
I'd take those vacation days I still haven't used.
Instead of inviting her to coffee, I'd invite her to church.
Make myself get up early so I can watch cartoons with my kids.
I'd give myself a break.
I would take her to that park she's been wanting to go to, the one that's all the way across town.
I'd say I love you, and I'd say it every day.
On Thanksgiving, my table would be open to the whole neighborhood.
Mother's Day would mean more than a $5 card.
I'd let God have all the stuff weighing me down.
I'd have more courage, because I'd have nothing to lose.
I would take Jesus seriously when He asked us to feed the hungry.
Serve the very least of these.
Look after the sick.
I'd be quicker to forgive because He forgave me.
Living every moment with intention.
Taking every purpose by the horns.
Leaving nothing unsaid.
Leaving nobody behind.
Making every minute count.
I would use every hour I had on this earth.
To love God.
To love others.
One intentional day at a time.
How do you think that would change your world? If we just were a bit more intentional about it instead of what it looks like. You see, I think, and Neil shared it last week for those that were here, I think people like to be known. They like to be seen. It's not about being seen in all the glory. It's about the power in I see you. Yeah? There's power in being seen by others. And when we say, I'm invited, which is what we're looking at this morning, and this passage from Luke chapter 7, it's also a passage that's referred to in Matthew 11 as well. And this passage looks at a woman who shouldn't have been invited. In fact, she wasn't invited. She was a gatecrasher. So we always refer to the alabaster jar and all that sort of stuff. But this should be the story of the gatecrasher. The gatecrasher doesn't fit with I'm in series, so we didn't go there. But essentially, that's what happened. She wasn't invited. She wasn't welcome. She wasn't qualified. And yet, here she was. Who remembers back to school days where you are in? You are either in or you're out. And how often does it make you have those warm and... It's a long time for you, Sarah, I'm sorry. You know, like all of 7 weeks since you left school. But maybe 10. But there's just those warm, fuzzy feelings we get when we're out, right? No, there's not. There's that sense in which we want to feel like we belong. I think as a society and as a human, the way we're created is to belong. We want to belong. You want to feel unwelcome. You wear the wrong jersey to the wrong and sit in the wrong section at a football game. You all of a sudden don't belong. And you have this deep desire within you to move somewhere else, to move so that you do belong. It's something innately deep within the very depths of who we are that we want to belong. We want to be accepted. We want to be welcomed. And yet that is nothing about who this person was that's recorded here in Scripture. They weren't welcomed. They weren't invited. Have you ever felt feelings like being unwanted, being unworthy, undeserving, and feelings of being not welcome? The power in the passage this morning is that Jesus invites people who are rejected by others. All the things that disqualify us to be in relationship with Him, His grace gives us the qualifying factor. This story in Luke chapter 7 is 2,000 years ago. Why are we still talking about it today? Because We are talking about it today because there is power in seeing people, in seeing people for whose they are, not just what they do. How often do we, when we meet somebody for the first time, I'm guilty, I did it this week, and I kicked my ear, just after I'd finished sorting out the sermon for this morning, and I did it. I went to a gathering this week of a whole bunch of people I didn't know, and I said, oh, so what's your name? And what's the next thing we say? What's your name, and what do you do for a crust? Right? I'm an overachiever. I said it six times at the gathering I went to. I was like, slow, stinking learner I am, right? Couldn't just do it once, feel bad. No, no, I did it a whole bunch of times. So, what's your name? What do you do? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and started, I did this once at a leadership gathering where you spend 90 seconds saying, I am, to the other person. Well, that's doesn't sound like a long time until you start doing it. Try it on somebody this week if you want to fill in your afternoon. I am a son. I am a husband. I am a pastor. I am a fire chaplain. And the list goes on. And you think to yourself at the end of the 90 seconds, I thought that was never going to end. Then they do it back to you, and then the wheels fall off. And they say, righto, let's repeat it again. No, I've said all of my I am's back there. And all of a sudden, you get to some really honest spaces. Because I think we say our name and we say what we do because that's the comfortable space that we want to stay. We actually don't want to allow people to see us. We allow what our name is and what we do to define us. We allow that to be our identity rather than whose we are. Jesus was walking the earth all of those years ago and claiming that he was God. There was a whole bunch of people that didn't believe that. No one more so than the Pharisees of the day. They were pious, devout people who were following the 613 different rules, and man, did they follow them. And by following them so well that it qualified them in their mind for being in relationship with God. Have you ever been with a rule follower? Ever played a game, a board game with a rule follower? I'm a rule bender. Yeah, I mean, when you're playing your sister in Monopoly, surely you're allowed to cheat then, right? Win at all costs. It's not allowed to cheat, but against your sister, you have to win one versus the other. I used to try to justify it to myself as a teenager. We haven't played since. We were banned for about 3 years. But there's rule followers, and these guys were the rule followers. They were ritualistic in all that they did. That was what qualified them. To being pure. Now, we read in verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. That's code language. I'm just checking. There's not really any children in the room. She was a prostitute. Nope. She's in there? She was a prostitute. And so she was not someone who would be clean, who could be hanging around with the Pharisees. They did not want to be seen with her. Because if they were seen with her, then all of a sudden, just by association, they're all of a sudden not clean. And they have to now tick even more boxes to get to be clean again. Their status within society because of their rule following was what let them climb the ladder of seniority within society. And all of a sudden, somebody who's unclean comes and moves amongst them. Are you serious? You have no idea how many rules I now have to follow. She can't come here. She's unclean. She's unworthy. You can't let her be here. She doesn't belong. Have you ever felt that you don't belong? Have you ever felt like, well, I don't do what they do, so I mustn't be as good as they are? Have you ever used language like that in your story? Maybe not out loud, maybe not as a Facebook or a social media update, but we certainly say it in our minds often, I'm sure. Sorry, you're not welcome. You weren't invited. And yet here is someone who is not invited, who brings their most valuable possession, kneels down, breaks open the jar, and anoints Jesus' feet with her most valuable possession. One moment of extravagant worship and ultimate sacrifice all melded into one. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. She couldn't stop crying. No towel to dry the feet, let down their hair. Now let me tell you, for Jewish women of the day, they didn't let down their hair. It was always tied up. It was one of those countercultural moments that she wouldn't have done. And yet here she was, letting down her hair. Can you imagine the journey that this woman took to get to this place? She would have walked across town to go to this house. She would have been teased, jeered at, yelled at, abuse thrown in her direction while she walked across town to this house. And her focus incompletely was to find Jesus, because she'd already heard Jesus speak earlier in the day. In Matthew chapter 11 that I referenced earlier, there's a parallel story to this one. And Matthew tells exactly what Jesus was preaching about prior, when John the Baptist's disciples came to question Jesus. The message was this: if you're broken, if you're rejected, if you're desperate to be loved, why don't you come? You're invited. Because in Matthew chapter 11, these are the words: come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Did you notice that in this story, it wasn't pointing out the woman's sins didn't lead her away from a sinful life? Judging her for her lifestyle didn't change her lifestyle. Shaming her, telling her she not good enough, didn't change it either. What changed it? That she'd been invited and that she accepted that invitation. So what does that mean for us today? Maybe we've doubted God. I doubt God. Look, I doubt God at times. I think, you know, is he actually, did he hear me? I did pray about that. Did he hear me? Am I the only one that follows my, I prayed about that. Did he hear me? Am I the only one that uses that phrase? I'd suggest probably not. Have we ever questioned God? Have we ever been hurt by people who say they follow God? Have we tried to run away? Have we felt like we've failed Him? You're still invited. This morning, you and I are invited to come and seek the Savior. Come with our doubts, come with our fears, come with our addictions, our rejection, our baggage, the things that we don't want anyone else to know about. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Further on in Luke's gospel, we read in there in Luke chapter 14 about the wedding and how a whole bunch of people were invited to this wedding. And then there was just a whole bunch of excuses as to why they couldn't attend, right? We've all read that passage. There was excuses about being busy. There were excuses about being tired. Oh, I've got other things on. And how many came after that? Nobody. What does the master of the house then say? Go out into all of the town, invite the cripple, the lame and the blind, and bring them in. There is still room. There is still room. Compel them to come to the party so the party is full. This morning, I want to tell you that there's still room. You're invited. I want you to go out that door this morning and tell others this week that there's still room. Do it by our actions. Do it by our words. Wherever we find ourselves, let's be intentional in the invite. Let's be intentional about the invite. It's not about preaching a sermon. It's about allowing people to see Jesus in us, in our responses, in the way in which we care for others. We may find ourselves at the beginning of this new year thinking, well, I'm dry. I'm really parched in my own spirit. Well, there's two tubs here this morning of water. You may want to come and just symbolically put your hand in the water. You may want to wash your hands, just like this young lady washed the feet of Jesus. You want to come as an act of worship and say, I love you so much that I want to symbolically do that this morning. You may feel thirsty. You may be hungering for that living water. Join with the wise men, would you, in seeking the Savior. Because you can find the living water and the thirst-quenching water. You can look for it in a million different places. This is the water that Jesus says never allows us to go thirsty again. Maybe you, like me in my life, have had a cross-shaped hole. Wherever we find ourselves, we have an opportunity to come and engage. The music team is going to share with us in just a moment a song that says, beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, guide me, break me, mold me, fill me, use me. Maybe this year you want to commit to there being an opportunity to be used in a greater way than you have in the past. Wherever you find yourself, whatever wherever you see yourself at the start of this new year, may you take the opportunity to engage in this space. You may want to take somebody else's hands and wash them. You may want to ask someone to pray with you, whatever it might be, as we sing this song this morning. I invite you to respond as the Spirit leads.